It's nice to see you this afternoon. Nice to see you. And I do feel like I've got some good things to say about my trip, and I enjoyed it very much. And I'm thankful to the individuals here that helped me, and I'm thankful to the church here that helped me, and a church in a different place that helped me as well. And they told me to keep it quiet and don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing, and so I'm not supposed to tell you who that church is. And it was interesting the way they said that. I'm thankful for all the times that you prayed for me on my trip, and I'm thankful for the times that you asked about me through mom and dad. I'm thankful for my sister and brother-in-law who kept me in their home right before I went to the airport in Dallas and right after I got off the airport in Dallas. And the brethren up there, they announced that at West Side in Irving, they announced that I was going. And when I walked in that night, and everybody comes up to me, "I hear you going out of town." And I hear you're leaving it. Yeah, news gets around. And then I found out everybody knew about it, and they were very encouraging in their words also to me. I guess I'm also thankful for the Bible classes that I had down there and the times to teach, and also for the 9 baptisms that I knew of that happened down there. I left on a Sunday morning because Dad had problems with his arm, you know, and broke that shoulder. And they were going to take me to Dallas because they wanted, as a good excuse, to see Dina. So, well, plans changed with that, and I decided to go by myself because Dad didn't need to be driving. And I went and worshipped at West. I worshipped at Cedar Park and met the Palmers up there. And what are you doing here? And then I worshipped at West Side on Sunday night. And real early Monday morning, Mark takes me to the airport, and I fly from Dallas-Fort Worth to Florida, to Miami, Florida. And there I wait for some time, and finally Kevin flies in, and we're finally together. And Brother Maldonado from New Braunfels was supposed to go with us, but his grandmother was very sick right before we left. And he asked his dad what he should do, and he knew what he should do without his dad saying anything, so he backed out on the trip with us. And unfortunately, she did pass away. She was the one that first obeyed the gospel in that family. And now there's 100 in the family that are now in Christ, or at least there's 100 in the family. Maybe not all of them are in Christ. There was a baptism in Cedar Park when I up there that morning. On the 13th, I think that was when I left as well. I wrote my journal here, but I want you to turn to Acts with me, please, to start here in Acts chapter 13. I don't want you to think that this is just a story about somebody that went on vacation. And, oh, I want to tell you about my trip, I had a great vacation. Oh, we had such fun, and all that. I had a lot of good times, but this was not just a vacation. I went there to preach and went there to teach and encourage the brethren. And I don't want you to think that the time that we have in this afternoon is just a time that's just kind of, oh, that fellow went up there and he told us about his vacation kind of thing. That's not the way I want to come across here. I want this to be a time where you're encouraged. And I'm encouraged, and by encouraging you, I want this to be a time where you get excited about the things that you hear. And look here in Acts chapter 13. And you know, in chapter 1 here is where the Holy Spirit sent forth Saul and Barnabas for the work which he called them. And that's in verse 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 there. And then when you skip a couple chapters, you go to chapter 14. Go to Acts chapter 14, if you would, and Acts 14. And here they're coming back. And you get to verse 25, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia. And verse 26, Acts 14, verse 26, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. They already fulfilled their work, you see. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. And that's what I want to do this afternoon. I want to rehearse all that God has done with me and Kevin as well, what he's done with us. And so in my journal, I say last night was Tuesday, January 15th, 2008. By the way, when I got there late, I guess early Tuesday or late Monday, there was a handful of these saints that were there and waiting for us. And I kind of reminded of Paul and some of them, how they met up with Paul in Rome. And there they were waiting for us late and protecting us and helping us carry our luggage and stuff. So last night was Tuesday, January 15th, I write, and I preached this lesson here, and I had it on my big paper in Spanish this time. And I had it grammatically incorrect, and so they stopped me during the sermon. They said, no, it's not I know, it's no I. And they straightened me out. That means there is. And that was a sermon that I preached here before as well in English. But and I had two brothers there, and one was Pluvio, and the other one was Mario, and they held my sermon up the whole time. And all the time I had my tape in my bag with me, and I used it after that, but I forgot it that night, and I guess I was extra nervous or something. And I thought about Moses and Aaron and how they held up. Aaron and Hur, H-U-R, Hur, how they held up the arms of Moses in Exodus chapter 17, verse 11 and 12 there. And when they held up the arms, there was victory. And, I thought of it at least. But there in that place, there was, I remember these two young fellows coming in late. And one of them was a Christian, one of them was not. And later, he became a Christian while I was there. We went to buy Bibles on Wednesday, the 15th, January 15th. We bought 60 Bibles. And some of the people, they can't even afford to buy the Bibles. I remember the one young fellow who was 12 years old, and they shared a Bible with him, and that was his first Bible. He never had a Bible before that. And we bought some large print Bibles, too, because we knew there were some that was really needing some large print. And like I said, some of them, they couldn't afford even to buy Bibles. Others could, of course. But in the afternoon, Rosa had invited Doris, a school teacher, to come. And she taught her while we ate. And after we ate, I went and washed the dishes. And then she asked me if I'd teach her. And so then I taught Dora that afternoon. I taught on the baptisms of the Bible. After that, Emilio came in, Emilio Sr., and he and Rosa and I, we all sat and taught together. I remember us teaching scriptures like Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, the Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The soul that sins, it shall die. You're not held guilty for somebody else's sins, like Adam or your grandfather or your father. You're held guilty for your own sins. I remember using that verse. Exodus 20, verse 3 through 6 there, talks about how we shouldn't worship idols. And even today, people still worship idols sometimes, unfortunately. We brought up 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 through 13, about the unity. I remember bringing up Matthew chapter 23, verse 9 through 12. And don't let anybody call masters. You're all brethren. There is no clergy, laity distinction in the Lord's people. In the Bible, you just can't find it there. And we're all brethren is the idea there. Well, we went to a church, another church this Wednesday night, and this was I thought it was in San Juan, but I think one of the churches was in Chirillos and not San Juan. It was 24 feet long and 12 feet wide. The doors were open to the street. It looked like a car could drive in this place. People just kept coming, it seemed like, and the seats just kept filling up. And finally, there was three ladies in this one plastic chair. And wood's very expensive down there, and they use plastic a lot. And I remember Kevin, I think he spoke on the same lesson when he was here in September. What did Jesus build? Did he build an organization? Did he build a clergy? What did he build when he built the church? Well, he built people. And that was the people got the point there very well, and it was a very good lesson. And he built people. He purchased people when he purchased the church with his blood, Acts 20, verse 28. When he said, "I'll build my church," he's talking about building people. We're lively stones. Peter tells that in 1 Peter 2. And so that was what the people needed to know that as well. He also said things like, the church doesn't save you in that lesson. The church is the saved. Jesus is the Savior. And that's exactly what the Bible says too. Ephesians 5 and 23. He's the Savior of the body. Okay? And then there was a dog fight that started out in the street that night. Very very impolite of those dogs to interrupt the lesson, but they did. Kevin and Carlos, they both started that church there. Afterwards, we were invited to Elba's house. And we went over there, and she was hospitable to us. She has a 17-year-old son, and there was a Bible class that was set up with him. It didn't turn out, but at least we were aiming to that night for another day. I'm not the greatest photographer in the world, but here's a double shot that shouldn't have been there. This is the lady that I studied with, and her daughter is on your right. I'm in left. And this is Emilio Sr. and his wife Rosa, and Emilio, their son, as well. This is where I was saying that the lady Elba invited us to her house, and this is where she was hospitable to us. I remember Lydia in the Bible being hospitable to Paul. She pleaded with him, begged him to come to the house. I remember meeting somebody there that night, and I asked Kevin that. I said, "Well, is that person a Christian?" And he said, "Well, he was baptized." And I think the message was from what was being said is, you know, there's some people and they're baptized into Christ and they put on Christ and they put off that old man. And there's other people, and that's about all they do is they get wet. That's not what God intended. God intended for a life to change. And I hope you live your life in such a way that people can, you can see a change in your life. And that God knows a change. And that other people can see a change in your life too. Well, this is a good picture of Kevin. In case anybody doesn't know who I'm talking about, Kevin O'Banion, the one that came and preached in September here. And he preaches in Lubbock, Texas. Here we are in the marketplace. This is Emilio, who I stayed with, the older one. He's about 65. He and Carlos are the only two preachers that preach the gospel full time and supported without any secular work. And this is just the example of him talking to people, I guess. I don't remember what he was talking about at this particular time. But he talked to a whole lot of people, and he was good at talking to people and talking to them about the Lord, talking to them about the Scriptures. Here's me and Kevin and Emilio and Mario's in the back there too, and the little station wagon taxi that we all squeezed into. We're heading over to Chorillos, and there at Chorillos lived Karina, and this is Karina here. And she's real sweet and jolly, and she's glad to be a Christian. And I was talking to the people that first night, and they said, how many years have you been a Christian? And I had to stop and think and count, and then I told them, and then they told me how many years they'd been a Christian. And here's one, he said, oh, 3 months. Here's one, 2 months. Here's somebody else, 6 months. They were just almost all babes in that one place. This is Karina here, and she had studied the Bible with somebody way out on a ranch and converted them to the truth. And we were there for a Bible class, the four of us. And we were trying to have a Bible study that she had set up for us with a young man. I think it was her grandson. Outside, down the door, we were meeting the people. And here's Yanni. That was his name, the one sitting down there in the black. I wonder if Yanni will ever obey the gospel. Maybe he will, because he lives next door to Karina. Oh, by the way, one time Karina was walking, she came in late to services. And I think she was just so excited about being there. And she was bubbling up over. And she was really excited, just like the scripture says. I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord. And this was the impression that I got. We already had started, and she's coming in, and she's just talking the whole way in. It's, oh, I'm just so glad to be here, kind of. And oh, it's so good. And she didn't catch on that we had already started. And she wasn't trying to be rude and interrupt. I don't think that was her motive at all. But it was just really funny that's the way she came in. And finally, one of the brothers said, you know, and she quieted then, but she just seemed like she was just so glad to be there. And I'll tell you, we need to be glad to come to the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Here's somebody I took a picture of. This is the one that held my sermon up, one of them. But we're at Karina's house here, waiting for hoping that the fellow will come to study the Bible with him. I guess I took it kind of close, but he was a jolly fellow too, a jolly brother in Christ. And this is a little taxi, and we had to drive in these taxis everywhere. They didn't take their own car. It was cheaper to go by taxi than to take their own car to different places. And sometimes they didn't even have walls on them. They had like tarps on above. And it was real. Transportation was real cheap. When we get back home, we find Nellie at home. Rosie had invited Nellie to her house, and Kevin taught her. And we stopped after a certain amount of time because we had to get ready to go to La Perla, another place to preach here on, I think I'm on Wednesday night. And I used my Scotch tape this time so nobody had to hold it up with their hands. There was a servant, in my notes, in my journal, I put, there was a servant of Carlos and Doris, like a maid and a housekeeper. And she's not a Christian is what I put in my notes. And later, she lived way up in the north and came down to live with this family, some of the Christians. And later, she does become a Christian, too. Tomorrow, two handfuls of us go to the north to teach the brethren up there. Emilio Sr. left at 7:30 p.m. tonight to head north by bus. The rest of us, it takes 12 hours by bus to get there. And the rest of us went by plane. Here's the ocean. And I believe this is on the way to the airport on the next day. There's mountains in the background, away from the ocean. These would be the Andes Mountains. And so the north was 560 miles from Lima. And then sometimes we'd even drive an hour more farther than that. Kevin came and Tony, or sometimes we called him Pony. And there was Chicho, and who's also called Javier, but we usually call them Chicho. And their wives came to see us often, but Tony and Chicho and Kevin and I and Emilio Jr. were on the plane, and we headed north on the plane to a town called Piura. And Emilio Sr. said, well, this is a small town. This is a country town. And I'm thinking, okay, but I'd already seen on the map, and it said 100,000, but later I found out it was 400,000. Compared to Lima was 7-8 million people. the people in Peru, there are 28 million people in Peru. And then here we come to this country town. It felt like a country town compared to the other town. People were a lot more friendlier. People were a lot more warm and friendly to talk with in Piura. I sat across from Carlos on the plane and had a conversation with him. And he said, "Why are you here? And what church are you of?" And I told him, and he said, "Oh, all the churches are of Christ." And I said, no, they're not. There's all the teachings of men. There's all kinds of teachings of men. But there's only the one doctrine of Christ. And the Bible talks about the one faith in Ephesians 4. And it talks about the one body, which is the church. And he said at the end of his conversation, with a look of disagreement, he said, "Yo no soy un fanático. I'm not a fanatic." And I thought, well, we need to be fanatics. And when we serve God, we need to be fanatical about it. Abraham offered his son, Isaac. I mean, that's pretty fanatical, isn't it? Noah, you're going to build an ark? Oh, you're building an ark for how many years have you been building this ark, Noah? You know, that's pretty fanatical to build an ark like that. To stand up for what you believe in, no matter if anybody else believes in it or not. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, Job said, Job 13, verse 15. And you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and Matthew 22 and 39. And we're supposed to be zealous for good works, and that's part of the definition of fanatical there, being zealous. And so, not that fellow. But we didn't have very many negative reactions. It seemed like they were more positive than negative. Kevin and Chicho and Pony, they took off and they went to a town that I don't think I remember how to say or pronounce. It's something like Talada or Talada or something like that. They didn't find out what they wanted to there. They didn't get to study with the people that they were hoping to study with. And so their efforts there wasn't as best as they would have liked. Emilio Sr. and I and Emilio Jr., we went walking down the road. And here he came across these people that he was hoping to study with them. And one was Lalo and one was Coco. Coco as in the coconuts and Lalo as in Edward, a nickname for Edward. And so these were the uncles of Pony and Chicho, Eduardo and Coco. And Pony and Chicho are the cousins of Emilio, okay? So we're talking about extended family, I think, here. And he yelled real loud, and we stopped, and I stayed with him, and Emilio went on, and he went on to visit some other people that night, and he set up a Bible class with them for the next day. Emilio Jr., he left, as I said, and then we went to visit an old friend that night. It was late, as far as I was concerned. I was like, well, we've had a long day, and we'll probably be going to the Hospedaje, which is the hotel, and we'll probably be going there and probably settling down soon. And we were just getting started. And they said in the middle of the day, it's too hot and everybody just kind of closes doors and rests. And then things get going in the evening. And it'd be like 11 o'clock at night, 10:30 at night. And a lot of people on the road. And I'm thinking, what are we doing knocking at these doors this late? But I'm glad I didn't say anything. and so we went and visited Sister Socorro. And he told me how that 40 years ago, she was in high school with Rosa. And now you have to realize, these people are all related, or these people are all friends to Emilio and Rosa. Almost. Not everybody. But a lot of these people are. And here's one of them. And now she's a saint in Christ, you know, and her daughter's in Christ. We walked away from her house, and he said, "Look at that white house there. There's a fellow there. We need to study the Bible with that fellow." He knew that fellow. He knew a lot of people in that town. And then that night, I spoke with Jorge, and he worked at the hotel. And I asked him some questions, and I was friendly with him. I set up a Bible class with him, and we studied for just 10 minutes, and then he couldn't. and he got up and left real quick and said he had to go and get ready for work in the morning. But maybe another time, maybe another time he'll study more somehow. The next morning, today is Saturday, January 19, 2008. We're going to study with Lalo, but instead we found Coco. So we studied with Coco, and he claimed salvation at the point of repentance and before baptism. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, though, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." But both were included in that, as one plus one equals the other. And the result would be for the remission of sins. We left his house. We studied with Lalo, who was right at his brother, and right across the way in the same big brick fence. And he said, "You know, my nephews, Tony and Chicho, I respect them a lot, and they're good boys, and they've changed their life, and there's something about them, and I want to know what it is that they believe in, what's changed them." And so that they had Chicho and his brother Pony, they had built a good rapport. They were good examples to him, and I was glad for that. And he asked some things, and I remember studying Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, about Jesus building his church upon the rock. And we said that the rock was the statement of what Jesus said. It was that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus has all authority, Matthew 28, verse 18. There's no other person on earth that has authority. Jesus is the one that has all authority, you see. There's no other president. There's no other head that the Bible talks about that's on earth. Jesus is the only head. Ephesians 5 talks about him being the head of the body. We also mentioned how babies weren't subject to baptism in that class there. That night we visited Rose's brother's wife, and a husband, her brother-in-law, her brother, her brother's wife, their sons there. We visited them. We asked them if we could have a Bible study at their house that night, and they said that was okay. These people were Christians. At least the adults were there, and some of the youngsters. I believe that was the night that we met with them. Sunday, January 20th, 2007. We're up early. We get a car rental. The car rental's late. Sakura and her daughter Francesca, they ride with us. We go 1 hour away to Piata, 100,000 people in Piata. It looks smaller than that, a lot smaller. We met with the brethren there. There was about 60, 20 more came in from other places. They brought their own benches. This fellow here is Michelangelo. I forgot the last two names of his, but those are the first two. Here's his wife here, and he's the first one that obeyed the gospel in Piata. And I believe that who I have here, which I didn't think about till last night, but I think her name was Rosa, but I'm not sure. But for sure, the baby's name was Sadie. And I think this is the night that Sadie's about to be killed. She wasn't killed, but she's about to be. Her father is a drunk. And she's a Christian. Her father's not. Her father's a drunk. Her father tries to kill the baby, tries to suffocate the baby. And I think that's what happened this night. The baby's fine right here in this picture. But I think this is the night that happened. Or if it wasn't Sunday night, it was Monday, one of the two there. So we met with the brethren there. There were a lot of brethren. I had a laptop, and I got that from my brother-in-law, Mark. And Kevin O'Banion had sent that to Mark, and I was supposed to take it to David Guerrero. Diane said that, yeah, that was my cousin's, and she was teasing about that. But I gave that laptop to him. Carlos was there from the south, and his wife, and some of his daughters as well. I remember I preached there again. I know Kevin preached there as well. The brethren had, here's another picture. This is Saul's here in the red shirt. We met him the next day on the bus. He just happened to be going with us in the same direction back to Paita. Here's the windows that, with no glass. The floor is dirt, a dirt floor. There's Kevin in the background. There's Emilio in the background. Here's the chairs that they sat on, the benches that they brought in. I think that the one in the middle here was the one that we baptized in the ocean while we were there. Here's David Guerrero on your right, and here's Carlos, the other gospel preacher that supported fully there, who I think he lives in La Perla, down near Lima, near the capital. And afterwards, it was interesting there. You know, think about being in a place and you don't know where any other brethren are. And afterwards, they announced, they said, well, okay, everybody from Santa Cruz, stand up, please. And everybody from Santa Cruz stood up. And then there would be one of the men, and he would say, this is sister so-and-so, and this is brother so-and-so, and this is brother. And I think that was important for those people because they needed to know about the other brethren and to be encouraged. And I remember some of the ladies shaking their hands afterwards, you know. And so that was something that they did there, and they gave their salute and their greetings to each other. Behind me, there's a wood wall where I take this picture. And the reason, the rest of the wall is concrete. And there's the metal roofing here. And the reason it's a wood wall in the back is because they're planning on growing. And planning on and building the building builder. Bigger. We rode across the dirt roads. Here's another one that I forgot his name. Well, behind, in the back, the brick building there is David's house. And David was hospitable to everybody that came, and everybody came over to his house, and we had a feast at his house there, and they were very hospitable to us. Here we leave Tony and Chicho, and they have to go back to Lima because they have to get back to work the next day. We leave Paeta, and we go another hour away. Here was along the roadside, and I think that was corn drying on the side. And here's the coconut trees. Up on the high ones, and then the banana trees down below. And we stopped and asked this fellow, one of these times, we asked the fellow with a big machete, and we say, oh, by the way, can you tell us the way to... And he told us real easy how to get to Santa Cruz. And in Santa Cruz, here's the reunion. Here's the meeting place of the Church of Christ, is what it says here. Not exactly, but close. Okay, so no windows again, no glass, and most of it here. The floor is dirt. Three dogs were in the service with us that day. No electricity. Nobody seemed to mind about the dogs until they started bothering the speaker, and then they shoot them away. Julio responded to the invitation at this place. We finally made it to the canal. Nobody seemed to know what was going on, or which I didn't know which way to go, which direction to go, and we were taking a long time to get down to the canal. Kevin, after he baptized Julio in the canal there, Julio began to slip, and Kevin caught him and brought him up again, and at least helped him out there. Here's again the inside. Notice the bamboo roof, the dirt floor. This place was crowded as well. There was plenty of folk there. Monday, January 21st, we met one of the disciples from Paita, that was Saul. I sang spiritual songs with him in the back of the bus. He struck up a conversation with one of the other person over here to his left. A good discussion. He invited him to the church. From the bus, we took two mini taxis to David Guerrero's house again. 25 of the saints were there. Kevin spoke on Luke chapter 8 and verse 13 and 14 some, and how that Christians need to grow, and there's a process, and it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time, and you got to be patient with each other, and you got to be patient with the older ones too, because sometimes the older ones don't always do what's right either. Look at Galatians chapter 2, and there's Peter there. Paul rebuking Peter. Um, When Emilio Jr., Kevin and I got back from an outing this afternoon, there was a study in progress. Emilio Sr. was teaching it. There was a mother there. Two daughters were there. I helped with a few verses in that Bible class, but the most amazing thing about that was that I saw that there was the noise. People were coming in and out. The loudspeaker in the afternoon came on, and it was. And in spite of that, they're focused. They seem like they're not distracted, and that was an amazing thing to me. I remember quizzing some of the children in some Bible questions. That's what I did that afternoon, some as well. Kevin spoke again that evening. There were about 50 people there that evening. The next day, Tuesday, we rented a car again. Pida, we went back to Pida every night. And then we'd go an hour away about to these different places, either Santa Cruz or we stayed in Cura every night. And then we'd go an hour away. We rented a car this day. The car was getting late again. We went to Santa Cruz. We were late about 10 to 15 minutes. Kevin said to me in the car, he said, if this were the first time I was coming here, I'd be worried, but I'm not. Because they never start on time. And we weren't worried about it. But we couldn't get there any faster because the rental car couldn't get to us any faster than when we ordered it. We ordered it earlier. But anyways, there were not enough songbooks here. Kevin spoke on what is the church again in this place in the north. The people hadn't heard that lesson. We broke for lunch. We walked a block away. And one of the Christians invited everybody into their home again. And they put all the preachers at what I call the king's table. I didn't want to sit there. And I sat somewhere else. And they're like, no, you sit over here. And at the quote-unquote king's table, we had a tablecloth. And at the king's table, we had all kinds of... We had silverware, metal, and real plates. And nobody else had the things that we had. We had more chicken. We had chicken. And they didn't have chicken. And we had other beans and... And they didn't have that, but Kevin said the same thing. He said, yeah, I would have rather mingled with the people than be up there at the king's table. Well, here in my notes I talk about little baby Sadie. I think this was Tuesday morning before we left, I think. Or I got a few things mixed up, I'm sure. And Steve wrote and he talked about the Griffin, little baby Gus, and being in the hospital. And I've been praying for little Sadie, and then I found out the news about baby Gus, and I was praying for both of them that day. But the father tried to strangle or suffocate the baby, and so she was in the protection of the other saint's house. And I remember a Bible question after there was a Bible answer and question, and they said, is it right to defend your family? You know, I mean, we're supposed to turn the other cheek. The Bible says turn the other cheek. And I remember Kevin, I thought, is a good answer. He said, the Bible also says we're supposed to provide for our own, too. And start part of providing for our own means that we take care of our family. And she would have been to the doctor already, but she didn't have the money to go to the doctor. And Kevin gave her the money to go to the doctor. And the next day she went to the doctor and the baby was fine. And so I was glad to see that baby the next day. We pulled the chairs back with us to the meeting house. We preached some more. It was hot. It was a question and answer period. Kevin was in the answering the questions. Amelia would translate for him. Kevin would speak in English anywhere that he went. Amelia would translate to him from Spanish to English. I remember the one boy in the front, the 12-year-old, and he says, I just obeyed the gospel a month ago, and should I go to confirmation at the Catholic Church? And he just didn't understand. He was a baby in Christ. He didn't need to do that. He could now take the Lord's Supper because he was in Christ. I remember somebody else asking a question there, and he said, Kevin, can you explain the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? And Kevin says, we don't have time. We just finished 6 weeks of it at Lubbock. And I remember another question there one of the sisters asked. She said, could you tell us why Christians shouldn't be involved in carnivals? He translated, said it again. He said, "What's a carnival?" Kevin said to Emilio. And he said, "That's where they take a balloon and they fill it with water and they throw it at people." And Kevin said, "Right now, I would love for 3 or 4 people to throw carnivals at me because it's hot." And it was. I was about to faint in that place, I felt like, for a little bit there. And then afterwards, they wanted me to speak. And I'm thinking, I don't want to speak. And I tried to explain to them. I said, "Well, Jesus had compassion on the people. Maybe I shouldn't speak either." And they're like, "No, you speak." And so I picked out the smallest sermon I could because we were melting in there. And the heat from the metal roof. So I preached something I tried to preach through it quick. That night we went back to Paida. We searched for a power surge for one of the brothers, for David Guerrero, that went with the computer that we brought him. On Wednesday, January 23rd, we were on our way to a Bible class, and when the taxi driver there, we started a conversation with him. I remember he said, "We're Christians." Emilio Sr. saying that. And, "Well, what church?" And, "Oh, I want to hear more about this," he said. He got his name, he got his address, he got his phone number. Then we leave there, we go in, we study with Rose's brother. The other one that I met, that I said, was a Christian. This one wasn't. And so I taught the Bible class there with her brother and her sister-in-law. We talked about deity, who to worship and who to pray for. The only deity would be the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And you can't pray to saints, you can't pray to Mary, and they're not deity. The Bible doesn't say that. So that's some of the things that I talked about there. We went back to Lalo's house. We studied with Lalo, and while we're studying with Lalo, there was a gate opened, and you could hear the gate. And then here's Lalo, and he says, "Come, your father's here." And it was another Lalo, which is, we'll call him Ronald, because that was another name of his. And Ronald comes in, he goes, "What, my dad's here?" He goes, "Yeah, he's in here. We're studying the Bible right here." And so he comes in, and it's like they hadn't seen each other for 2 years. And they both moved, and they didn't know, they knew he was in town, but they didn't know where. They'd heard he was in this town, in this city. And so we studied the Bible with him. Then we took Ronald over to the hotel. We took our luggage out of the room. We checked out. We put it in a safe room. We studied the Bible with Ronald there. We baptized Ronald that afternoon. And all this is most of this is because one person obeyed the gospel. And I'll show you his picture here later. We go to the airport, 4:30. We're going back south now. Go back south. When we get on January 25th, Thursday, we study with Dora. We study with Dora. This was in the north. These people, these men here. There's a 100-year-old fellow in the center there. I think Emilio Jr. was saying to me, "He's waited 100 years for you to study the Bible with him. Study the Bible with him." I didn't make the opportunity or take it or something. Emilio was trying to talk with these men. He'd invited them. Some of them said they'd come to some of the classes in the north there. Back home, here's the grandson, and he gets to hear the gospel. He gets to grow up with the gospel being taught to him because somebody in his family before him obeyed the gospel. And they taught other people also in their family. We studied the Bible with Nelson on Thursday night. Nelson was the son of Manuel, a fellow that we visited in the north that had all kinds of questions. We studied with Nelson. Victor showed up. I met Victor. Rosa didn't know him. And nobody else knew who Victor was, but Emilio Sr. and I only. He was at a mechanic. And we invited him to come and study that night. And he said he'd come. So he showed up, and she's like, "Who is this?" And she was kind of scared because it's like they didn't want to just let anybody into their house. And I said, it's okay, I saw him. But we didn't know where Emilio Sr. was. Well, Emilio Sr. was tired from the night before. And it was about a 13 or 14, 15 hour on the bus when he came back instead of 12. And he'd gone in and he was sleeping in the back room. And we didn't know he was back there. And finally he came out during the middle of the Bible study. We tried to study with Nelson. Nelson understood what he needed to do to obey the gospel. He just counted the cost. Maybe soon. Angelica came with her daughter Beatrice. I studied the Bible with Angelica. Emilio talked about God's law of marriage. I remember him talking about that and mentioned bringing that up at another after the Bible study with Angelica. Emilio Jr. said that how he thought that the experience in the North was helpful to him because it helped him to not think about himself and helped him to think about and be concentrated on the things of God. He could have had a job. He had a job lined up for him. And he was switching jobs. And he said, no, I don't want to start until after a certain time because he wanted to make sure that he translated for Kevin. We met another fellow that night. I reminded him of it. And a policeman, Javier, we got invited him to the times of reunion, of the meeting times, where the saints come and worship. And we met another fellow in the grocery store that night that he knew for a long time. We met him there, and we got his name as well. And let's see. Saturday night, we go and we clean up the meeting plates. We wipe down all the chairs. We wipe the floor down. We clean the windows. After that, then we go and we get grapes so that she can make the grape juice in the morning for the Lord's Supper. Somebody said, you've been doing this for 15 years. She said, yeah, that's the work of the Lord. It's no problem. Somebody else said that to her. We went to see Manuel. We didn't find him. We couldn't get a bus on the way back. I had my Bible in my hand and almost got robbed that night. They didn't know it was a Bible. I had the Bible case around it. Emilio Jr. was standing about 3 feet from me, and they probably thought I was by myself, too. And he turned around and said, ¿Qué pasa? What's happening? You know, and they ran off real fast. So I guess he saved me for that. I saw Rosa making bread Sunday morning. She squeezed the grape juice, too. We went to Miraflores. We preached with the church there. I spoke, and then Kevin after me. That afternoon, went out to eat with somebody. When I got back to the apartment, here's these two youngsters there. These are the people that took me out to eat on Saturday. Here's where we meet Miraflores, real crowded. He said, we need more space because visitors will come in, and they'll think, well, there's not space for me here. I'll go somewhere else. They need more space for visitors. It was too full. And when we got home that night, here's the two fellows. They said, I want you to study the Bible with this fellow. And we studied the Bible with him. He was ready to obey the gospel. I was just kind of making sure that he was ready. And at first I'm like, how are they going to understand me? But finally they did. And we went to San Juan. The lady there was going to be baptized. And then her husband, he was ready too. And we didn't know about that. And he was... He jumped up before her and to go get on these white robes. And behind me over here is the little Oscar, the 11-year-old that was ready to obey the gospel as well. So there are three that was baptized there. We went to San Juan. Wherever this place is, maybe Chorrillos or something. And there was one there that obeyed the gospel as well at night. Here's one of the preachers. And he used to be a taxi driver. And he was in a car accident. He doesn't really have money to get a taxi car again. Here's some old preachers, a place that Emilio Jr. liked to pray. Here's the people I stayed with. On your right is Emilio Jr. He's the one that was studying the Bible. He taught himself the truth. He knew what to do for a long time. And then he didn't exactly know what to do. Well, there's no other Christians. How am I supposed to go about becoming a Christian? He didn't understand. And finally, he was baptized. And 2 weeks later, he baptized his parents. And they're about the oldest Christians there in Peru, as far as I know. Here's his best friend. And his best friend's a Christian. And his best friend's mom's a Christian. And they had us over one day to their house. And here we are at the airport. We're saying our goodbyes, and there was another day there of teaching, and also, but we're saying our goodbyes at the airport to the brethren greeting us and saying our goodbye. Here's Tony or Chicho. I forget. I always got them confused. And here's Kevin saying goodbye to one of his brothers who's like a son to him. Behold how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. And that's the end. But that took a long time. Maybe there's somebody here. And you don't have to be in Peru to obey the gospel. You don't have to go to the ocean to obey the gospel. We got water back here. And unlike some of the places I've been at. And if you're here and you understand what you need to do, I'd encourage you to be baptized into Christ. If you're not living the way you should as a Christian, it's time to do what's right in the Lord, in the sight of the Lord. And you need to make things right between you and God. If we can pray for you, we'd be glad to pray for you. If you need to respond, please do so while we stand.
Come to Jesus.